Then before we pray this evening, let's look into the scripture. Our place is the Gospel of Luke, and we make our way over to chapter 2 this evening. Luke chapter 2. And aren't you glad for the Gospel of Luke? I mean, if we just had Mark, and I praise God for Mark, we would say, well, the gospel begins with the coming of John the Baptist and make ready the way of the Lord. And here comes Jesus right on his heels and off we go. But Luke sets it up for us a little bit further. He steps back and says, God was actually doing some wonderful things. And it's the sort of thing that in the second chapter, the 19th verse, we've seen a few of these things. And Mary starts to treasure all these things up. And ponder them in her heart. And it's good of God to give this. I mean, there was the visit by the angel Gabriel. There was the miraculous birth of John. There was the help that she had there in childbirth, I'm assuming out there somewhere in the stable. And then suddenly there was shepherds there who had had this tremendous vision of an angelic choir. And they come running to the scene, and they fall down, and they tell everything they've heard, and Mary and Joseph are just stunned by all this. And this is all part of the gospel too, isn't it? And we're grateful for it. Now, what we're about to read is about 40 days later, and it says there that verse 22, we'll start there. When the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, and since Jesus was a male child, it was 40 days, then they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And we know by that offering that they were poor. They were not prosperous. Probably Joseph was a guitar maker, which put him in the lower levels of income. So they bring this simple offering, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, this is where our interest begins. I mean, this is what we're looking at tonight with verse 25. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him, Simeon takes Jesus, into his arms. He's about, what, 6 weeks old now? How big does that make him, Kim, about like that? Bigger?
Oh, it depends.
Depends. Okay. Well, they're poor, so... Come on back a little bit. Okay. Simeon takes him in his arms. And what? And he blessed God. And then he said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace. According. This really is lovely. According to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. So we look at Simeon this evening, and we find something interesting about this man, or at least what's said about this man. And it says this in verse 25, he was looking for the consolation of Israel. And we meet an Israelite indeed, and one of the earmarks of an Israelite indeed is they're hungry or they're thirsty. and they're thirsty. They want. What they want is what God gives. They want what the Lord is going to bring. There is this looking. There is this expectation. In fact, we meet a few more of these people down. If you jump down with me down to verse 38, it says, and then we won't talk tonight about Anna, the prophetess, but that she came up, she began giving thanks to God, and she continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so there is a spirit of expectation there upon God's people. They're just sort of on the edge of their seats, and they've been looking and longing. Of course, they've been looking and longing for hundreds and hundreds of years, haven't they? It's just sort of like the New Testament, the light of Revelation to the Gentiles, and now we are the people of God with our elder brethren, and we're looking. And may God help us to be more like them in that we're on the edge of our seats, waiting and looking for the consolation of Israel and for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, what is consolation? Well, you can look that up for yourself, and it will be a sort of a rewarding study, but it's in some ways or avenues of thought, it's a prize for those who don't win. If you go on Wheel of Fortune and you don't have the good fortune of hitting anything but the bankrupt wedge, you've seen this before, you know how it works, and then you know, there's one person that makes $45,000 right next to you, and you make nothing. Well, they'll give you $1,000 at the end of the show, and that might just pay for your plane fare and your hotel. I don't know, but it's a consolation. It's given to you because they feel bad for you that you didn't win anything. It's basically, it is the essence of this is comfort. Now, consolation does have this idea about it, and it doesn't matter if you're thinking of the third place prize or the fourth place prize or the prize for showing up, or if you are thinking of, I am in real need. I feel desperate at this point. And I have a real need for comfort to my soul. And I don't care what place it is. I just need something to soothe this ache and to heal this wound. This is the consolation that so many people need. Now, you don't have to go there, but I'll just reference this for you. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. This is where Paul says that God is the God of all comfort. You remember that? And that little section there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. He goes down verse by verse until you get down to this. Our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. And what he has just said in those four verses, five verses, that's verses 3 through 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He's just used the word comfort 10 times. And he tells them how desperate he was as he was traveling through Asia. And nothing was going right for him. And he wanted to hear word from Timothy. And nothing was coming. And their paths weren't meeting. And he was upset about the church in Corinth. And then he said, in the middle of all that, God comforted us. Oh, blessed be God, he says. He is the God of all comfort. Now, when you add that thought to Luke chapter 2, you realize that Simeon is looking for this from God, isn't he? He wants the people of God to be comforted. He wants God himself to bless them, to come to them and to apply that balm that only he can and to put it in those places where only God can reach. And this is the great thing about our Heavenly Father. No one touches like him and no one heals like he does. Now, I like this. It says that Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. It strikes me that he's got the whole Old Testament summed up there in a thought, doesn't he? Now, you can read the Old Testament any way you want to, and you can look at it from several different vantage points. And you can say, well, God is a God of wrath, and he's always angry at his people, and all he wants to do is punish and judge them. That's one viewpoint. Or you can look at it kind of like Simeon does and says, you know, the whole thing sort of comes together like this. God is going to visit his people and comfort them. That's the, he says, as I understand Simeon, he doesn't have a big place in the gospel, but he's got a big place in my heart. How about yours? But I understand him. He is gathered from this, the prophets, the promises, even the laws. He is gathered from this that God is going to bless his people. I don't know. Maybe the 40th chapter of Isaiah was his favorite chapter. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Now, we need to remind ourselves that there's lots of ways to look at the Bible, and a lot of what we take from it depends upon our viewpoint. Picture the day of, we call it Good Friday, when there's three crosses there. The central one arrests our attention because the Lord of glory hangs there, but on either side there's a thief. And as the day goes on, something happens in one of them until you've got two totally different viewpoints, either side flanking our Lord. One man says, oh, go ahead and get us down. If you're the king of Israel, then why don't you save yourself and save us while you're at it? And the other one says, and he was looking at the same thing that the first thief was, and he says, don't you even fear God? He has done nothing wrong. Now, we're suffering for what we have done. It's only right what's happening to us now. But he, of course, he can't gesture, can he? He can nod. He can shrug. He can blink. But he can say, now, he has done nothing. He rebukes the other viewpoint. And then he turns to Jesus and says, don't forget me. When you come in your kingdom, and that's a glorious statement of faith, he's saying to a crucified man being bleeding to death and dying right there on that cross, when you come into your kingdom, and surely you will, you remember me. Now, that's different viewpoints looking at the same thing, isn't it? Oh, how do we look at the Old Testament? Do we look at it like Simeon did? Can we say, you know, this is what, the, you know, God will express his wrath against sin and his displeasure with his people, but then he will say, and what's coming then? I'm going to punish you, and it will be just, but oh, what's coming? There is going to come a river out of the throne room of God, and it's going to flow along, and everything, in every place that it goes, everything is going to live. And I'm going to comfort my people, and I'm going to speak kindly to Jerusalem. Her warfare is going to end, and her iniquity is going to be removed, because she has received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. And then a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Oh, that 40th chapter of Isaiah. Well, couple that with the 53rd, and you've got the gospel there, don't you? And you've, well, you can put some others with it, but you know what I'm saying. This is the essence. And Simeon saw this, and Simeon looked for it, and he was waiting for it. And the fact that he was right is indicated by the scriptural statement, and the Spirit of God was upon him. And this is how he comes into the temple. Oh, that 40th day when Jesus and Mary come in to the temple, as we've been reminded recently, they're coming into the court of women right there. And as they make their way up through it, there, supposedly there's some steps that ascend up to the court of the Gentile, the court of Israel, where she will deal with the priest right there. But probably before she ever gets there, this man, this stranger, I don't know, maybe that Mary and Joseph were kind of newcomers. Do they know this guy? Israel, I mean, Jerusalem knows him, but do these? I don't know. This man, so we'll call him a relative stranger, comes up and takes their child and holds him in his arms. And he says, Lord, you let me go. Thank you. Thank you. What is the comfort then? What is the comfort of Israel? Is it the Romans beaten back? Is the tax booths closed? Is it now they have their own parliament that they can exercise their own sovereignty and dominion? Is it they can reestablish their national borders? I mean, Jesus dealt with this his whole life, even after his resurrection. Now, Lord, are you returning? Are you establishing the kingdom of Israel? And he has to tell them, fellas, this is the comfort. This is the gospel. It's wrapped up not in events, not in circumstances, not in things getting better. It's wrapped up in a person. You can hold him in your arms. You can take him at whatever point of life he is in, and you can say, I have seen the glory of the Lord. I have beheld the comfort of Israel. I have seen him. And oh, that which God had promised him, God fulfilled. He never saw the Roman arm lifted before he died. He never got to see full taxation with representation. He never did. He never got to see his political party prevail. He never got to see the throne of David re-inhabited, if you will. But he saw the beginnings, didn't he? He saw that little stone that was coming down the hill, and it was going to strike the statue on its feet. And he saw the stone of Israel. He beheld this great king, though but an infant, this long, right? And he holds him 6 weeks, virtually, in his arms, and he says, ah, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. The comfort is the same for Israel, isn't it? The comfort's the same for the church. It's all wrapped up in a person. And Simeon runs before us like John did. He comes before and he says, this is the one. Well, what a happy time of the year we are in. What a glad season, because it reminds us of all these good things that God has done for us in Christ our Lord. All right, let's pray.